Let me also welcome you to Living Hope. My name is Ron. I'm one of the elders here, also serve as the pastor. I had a free donut in the cafe this morning, so if I fall asleep during my own sermon, you know that that sugar thing kind of went like that. So, let me add my happy Mother's Day greeting to the moms here. And to be really candid, Mother's Day, I know it's ahead on the calendar, and I know I want to, probably frame the or shape the service somehow in a way to honor mothers, to honor women, and I'm like, how am I supposed to do that? Like, I'm just a man. I don't get the whole woman thing, but no, that's not totally true. But I do want this morning to honor not only mothers, but women in general. So that's what I'm going to try to do. That's my desire anyway. Let me start with a really kind of a story that you're going to wonder what it has to do with anything. My family unit, we have three automobiles. One of them is a small green Subaru Impreza. And for a period of time longer than I would like to publicly admit, the clutch has been slipping. Now, you need a clutch in a car that has manual transmission, or some people call that a stick shift. So some of you might have some idea what I'm talking about, others may not. But when I say the clutch was slipping, that just simply means it wasn't working properly. The car wasn't really working properly. And I have this trait where I can put up with things way longer than I should. And I was doing that, and my daughter, who's not in the room, so she can't defend herself, but she said to me, "Dad, we really ought to get this fixed." And, she's only been driving for like a year, and I'm like way smarter and older than her. And in my wisdom, I said to her, "Nah, it's no big deal. We'll get to it eventually." Well, about a week after we had that conversation, I decided, she's right. We should get it into the shop. And so I made an appointment to get into the shop, but it was going to be like two more weeks until they could actually work on it. And in that meantime, the clutch totally went out, completely went out. It didn't work at all anymore because of my wisdom in waiting so long. So that happened here at the church. So I had to drive it from here to my house, which is about a 10-minute drive away, without a clutch at all. And now I know there are probably some of you in the room that have driven a car without a clutch that's supposed to have a clutch. It's an adventure. And then I had to drive it from my house to the repair garage, which is like a 20-minute drive, without a clutch at all. Now, you're probably wondering what in the world this has to do with anything. My point is simply this. If you were riding in the car with me on the way to the repair garage, driving this vehicle without a clutch, and I had looked over to you and said, "So, how would you like to own a manual transmission car?" And you'd never been in one before. And I'd said, "How would you like to own a manual transmission car?" You would likely look at me and say, "I would never, ever want anything to do with a manual transmission car. I mean, it feels unsafe. It's kind of jerky. I hear gears grinding. It's nerve-wracking. I feel like the whole thing's on the verge of blowing up. I would never, ever want anything to do with a car with a manual transmission." And the reason you would say that is because your exposure to a manual transmission would have been riding with me when I was operating the car in a way far removed from what the engineers intended when they designed manual transmission automobiles. Are you with me? You get that part, at least the automobile part? This is what I want to do this morning in terms of this connection with Mother's Day. I want to look at God's design for male and female, man, woman, masculinity, femininity, focusing primarily this morning on femininity. This statement is in your notes. The beauty and uniqueness of male and female is an amazing part of God's creation. However, since God's perfect creation has been disfigured and distorted by sin, this beauty and uniqueness he designed in the male and female genders is sometimes almost unrecognizable. I believe that in our society, and this has happened many times through human history, this whole male-female gender thing there has been so much abuse and so much just disfiguration or misuse that it's almost like riding in a manual transmission car that is missing a clutch. It's just messed up. It's just messed up. It just doesn't appear to be working. There's abuse. There's mistreatment. There's, you know, belittling. There's all these things. So what I want to do this morning is say, okay, let's go back to the beginning. Let's go back. What was God thinking when he created male and female? What was his intention? What was his plan? So to do that, we have to go to Genesis. And this morning, we're going to spend our time in Genesis 2, several verses there. So I invite you to turn there. If you're using one of the guest Bibles, it is page 2. I don't think I've ever said that before. So it's right in the beginning, page 2 of the guest Bible, Genesis chapter 2. As we look at this question of, you know, in an age of so much, what I believe is confusion and, I don't know what the better word is, but just confusion about gender and male and female and masculinity and femininity, let's go to Genesis 2. So, first of all, if you just read Genesis for the first time, you'll notice that Genesis 1 gives a sort of an overview account of the creation. And it talks about 6 days of creation and what God did on each of those days. And it says on the sixth day, basically, that God created animals and he created man, male and female. He created them, it says. And then Genesis 2 almost seems like the story is being told over again with different details. But what Genesis 2 is kind of zooming in. It's almost like Genesis 1 is looking at a big roadmap. And then Genesis 2 is zooming in to this particular creation of the crowning work of God, and that was mankind, man and woman, male and female. So those are more of the details we get, but then there's some interesting twists in Genesis 2 also. So let's jump right in there. You may remember that a number of times in Genesis 1, God said, or it is said, that God saw that it was good. He would create something and he would see that it was good. Then he would create something else and see that it was good. That's referred to numerous times. But then in the end of Genesis 1, it says, when God saw all that he had done, including man and woman, it was very good. It was very good. So let's look at a couple things. First, we're going to look briefly at the creation of man, and then we're going to look primarily at the creation of woman. And for you men, on Father's Day, we're going to come right back here and we're going to focus more on the creation of man and some of the unique characteristics of man. But this morning, we'll look more at the woman. So we're in Genesis chapter 2. Let's look at verse 7. I'm just going to skip through some of this. We just jump in here to verse 7. It says, "Then the Lord God formed the man out of the dust from the ground and breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and the man became a living being." Now, that's not a real exciting origin, men. We're made from dirt. That's pretty much how it is. We're made from dirt, and dirt is a pretty simple thing, and we're pretty simple guys. So men are made from dirt. I didn't remember reading this, but if you look in here, you see, I should have written it down, but all of the animals as well, all of the animals as well were made from earth, from dirt, from the dust of the ground. So there it is in verse 19. So the Lord God formed out of the ground each wild animal. So as a man, I have something in common with all the animals and all the creatures on the earth. We were all made from dirt. The difference is, Genesis 1 makes it clear that God says when he was going to make man and woman, there is something very distinct about me as a man and you as a woman. We were made in God's image. So none of the other animals have that. So I am a little better than the rest of the animals that were just made from dirt. I too was just made from dirt. Man was made from dirt. But we were made in the image of God. Okay, so just that brief look at the creation of man. And if I could say one other thing just briefly that we're going to come back to. This might seem like an odd question, but where was Adam created? where did this happen? Well, I can't really answer that question, but I never saw this before, but we do know where Adam wasn't created. Adam wasn't created in the Garden of Eden, because it says that after he was created, let me give you the verse rather than just having you take my word for it. Verse 15, this is Genesis 2, verse 15. The Lord God took the man and placed him in the garden. The Lord God took the man and placed him in the garden. So would you agree with me that wherever Adam was originally wasn't in the garden? God created him and then took him and placed him in the garden. And it says he placed him there to work and keep the garden. So, just make that observation about Adam. And then we go to verse 18. It says, then the Lord God said, now get this, because this is the first time we'll hear these words in the Bible. The Lord God said, it is not good. Everything so far God has been saying is good. Now he's saying it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is like him. That phrase, I will make a helper who is like him, it is a number of different words used in various translations. I will make a helper who is like him. I will make a helper suitable for him. A helper as his complement. A helper comparable to him. A helper fit for him. A companion who corresponds to him. A helpmeet for him. A helper, a companion. A helper who is just right for him. You kind of get this idea. I understand that Greek word, I'm sorry, the Hebrew word for who is like him or who is suitable for him really has to do with the idea of corresponding. Someone who corresponds with him, the definition for correspond is have a close similarity, to match or agree almost exactly. Now, I want you to get the picture here. I never really saw the sequence of this. God says in verse 18, it is not good for man to be alone. Now, wouldn't you assume then that verse 19 would be the creation of the woman? Right? God says in verse 18, it's not good for man to be alone. Wouldn't you assume then that verse 19 would be the creation of the woman? Not so. I find the sequence fascinating here, and I believe it's absolutely intentional. Verse 19. So the Lord God formed out of the ground a woman. No, that's not what it says. So the Lord God formed out of the ground each wild animal and each bird of the sky and brought each to the man to see what he would call it. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. The man, in verse 20, the man gave names to the livestock, to the birds of the sky, and to every wild animal. I don't know what that was all about, why man got to name the animals. We'll talk about that on Father's Day. But God brought all these animals. Now, when God created animals, he created them male and female. So what do you think might be happening now? Okay, here's Adam standing, and there's this long line of animals forming, like waiting in line to get a name, and Adam has to give him a name. Man has to give him a name. I've just got to believe that there's this part of man that is watching these creatures parade by. Now, here comes the lions, male and female. Here comes the monkeys, male and female. Here comes cattle. Here comes birds. Here comes all these creatures. And he's noticing that they all are male and female. There is a male version of the bear, and there is the female version. You know, he's seeing male and female coming and walking past him. I really believe that what God was doing was creating in Adam, in man, a desire for his counterpart, who did not yet exist. God had already declared this is not good, that man is alone. But I believe that through this naming process, God is causing this desire to rise up in Adam. It says in Proverbs, no, that's a man that finds a wife. And never mind, scratch that. I'll get to that later. So let's read on. The latter part of verse 20 says, but for the man, no helper was found who was like him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to come over the man, and he slept. God took one of his ribs and closed the flesh at that place. Then the Lord God made the rib he had taken from the man into a woman, and he brought her to the man. Let's just stop right there. A couple observations. First of all, Adam is in this mode. He's naming all the creatures that are coming by, and I'm just picturing this in my mind, and he probably notices that the end of the line is coming. Like, he's getting to the end of the tasks, and he's naming all of these animals, and the end of line is coming, the end of the line is coming, it's getting closer, and he's probably thinking, like, where is the one that's like me? Well, the end of the line comes, and Adam starts feeling very sleepy, and he's gone, you know? So, we see something here revealed about women. Did you know, women, that unlike every creature on this planet, unlike every creature, you are not made from dirt? Did you know that? I know that's kind of funny, but don't pass over that. You are not made from the dust of the ground. Men were. The whole animal kingdom was. But when it was time to create a helper, a companion, a corresponding partner for man, God started with a part of man. Now, this is hugely significant, and this could probably be like a very long sermon series, but just to touch on it this morning, woman was created from man. He was not created from the dirt. Now, I've fallen behind on my notes up here. I'll just give this one. You probably figured this one out already. The line of animals passing by the man caused him to recognize something. God had already declared that it was not good for him to be alone. I'll give you that if you're filling in the blanks. So we get to that. It's not good for him to be alone. And now God creates this creature, this woman, taken from God's side. Now, I'll touch on this briefly. We'll come back to it. The scripture doesn't specifically say, but I believe it's obvious that when God created woman from man, that he breathed life into her. It doesn't specifically say he breathed into her the breath of life. But I don't believe that God brought a lifeless woman to Adam and said, here, make her come to life. No, man doesn't have that ability. God breathed life into this woman, and he brought her to the man. Now, let's jump into verse 23. The man said, now in the NIV, it would be worded, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. I've heard and read that verse many times, and it never really came to life for me until this time through. Let me read what it says in, for instance, the Holman Bible. It says, this one at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. The Message says, finally, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. That word now, this is now bone of my bones, I always just kind of blew over that. But I believe what Adam was saying after seeing all these creatures walking by, and then he sees God bring this magnificent creature to him, and he said, finally, one that is like me. None of the others were like me. Finally, one who is like me. This one now is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. How Adam figured out what God had done while he was sleeping, I don't know. Maybe God told him, maybe he just sort of felt it, and he put it together. I don't know. But he said, finally, this one is like me. Finally, this one is like me. Now remember, what was Adam doing right when he fell asleep? I mean, it appears that way anyway, in the sequence of things. What was he doing? What was he in the middle of? Naming things. Naming things. So what's the first thing he does? I'm going to name this one too. I named all the other ones. I'm going to name this one. And he does. And notice what he says. This one will be called woman, for she was taken from man. So there is this link. There is this connection in a woman's identity that connects her to man. I don't know how you feel about that. There's probably a number of different ways you could react to that thought. But Adam named the woman based on this reality that she was not so-called an original creation, but she was taken from man. So he called her woman, which from what I understand means like from man or taken from man. This is where it gets tricky. You might not agree with everything I'm about to say, but that's okay. I'll try to offend everyone equally, okay, in what I say next. Let me get that up here. I just said it. This is the title of the message was One Person, Two Names. We see woman, or the female, get two names. So this is the first one. The man called this wonderful gift woman because she was not only like him, but she was from him. Again, this is what makes the woman unique in all of creation. God did not create from the dust a woman who is, as we know, women. He created her from man. Now, remember I asked where Adam was created. And we said it would appear apparent from Scripture that he was not created in the garden. Man was created and was taken by God to a place of work, a garden where it would be necessary to work. The woman was created and was taken to a person, a place of relationship. Let me say that again. I think there's huge significance in this, and some people will absolutely disagree with this because they hate the very thought of this. But man was created by God and taken to a place that God had for him, and it was a place of work. Woman was created and then was taken by God to a place that he had desired for her, and it was a place of relationship. Women, do you just go nuts with your husband and how at times he just seems obsessed with his work, with his job? Do you feel at times like you don't even exist, like the boss gets all of his attention? I'm not saying that's right, but I'm saying what you're seeing is something that is designed in him. How are we doing? Are we doing all right here? And women, husbands, can we just be real honest? Okay, there's a point in every premarital counseling session that I do with my wife and with other couples. At some point through these lessons, I look at the husband and I say, look, women are complicated. They're complicated. I'm sorry, I don't know how else to say it. Compared to men, they are complicated. You're shaking your head, Greg. Yeah, do you agree? Am I all right? They don't process like we do. They don't think like we do. Things that are simple to a man are not simple to a woman. She'll think of a million things that we didn't think of, and it annoys us because why does it have to be so complicated? Am I doing all right, Dave? All right, I'll lose my place here. God made a woman and brought her to a place of relationship. Women are relational. They are very intuitive. A man will often look at something and see what work needs to be done. And a woman will look at a situation and she'll start weighing and assessing, well, how will this affect someone else? How will so-and-so feel about this? What's really happening behind the scenes? And the man is like, there you go again. Does it have to be so complicated? Let's just get the work done. Both of those obviously can be taken out of balance, but I believe it's how we were created. I think that's what we see here. I just invite you to meditate on that. The first thing that God did was he took man to a place of work, and he took woman to a place of relationship. I think that's very, very important as far as understanding masculine and feminine, man and woman, male and female. Now again, I just said that I know there might even be some of you in the room right now, and I fully understand this, that you're just like, this guy is nuts. like the things you just said of man being created for work and women being created for relationships, that lies at the very core of all of the mistreatment that women had suffered, have suffered for centuries. Men just wanting to work and women, they're supposed to, you know, not work or whatever. That's not at all where I'm going with this. Let me just try to flesh this out, because this point, this first name, I believe, is probably the one that the enemy has attacked the most. This first name, this name woman, that woman was taken from man. So if you're not sure that you like this, just a few things let me say. First, if we believe this book, I hope we also believe that God always gets it right. When he designs something, when he creates something, when he plans something, he always gets it right. He always gets it right. So when God designed a man and woman in the way he did, his designs are always perfect. They're always right. Secondly, remember what God said before the woman was created. He said it is not good for man to be alone. Now, if I was not to be quite so kind to my gender, you could say that men need help. They're going to need help. They're not going to make it. They're just not going to make it. They're too simple. They're just made of dirt. They're going to need help. Now, if you run a business and you realize that you need help in your sales department, you look high and wide, or far and wide, for the best salesman you can find. And when you find the salesman that's really going to help your company, you celebrate that. That is a great milestone for your company. When God said, he looked at the man and he said, that's not good right there. That's not good. I need to bring a remedy to this situation. From my perspective, that is something we should celebrate in women. That does not put them down, saying that God made them to like come alongside and be a servant. No, no, no. God made them because man needed them. And the things that a woman possesses in the way that God created her are part of that. Third, and I mentioned this earlier, I have in my pocket, no, it's on the stand here, an iPhone 4S. Now, that's not the latest greatest. There's a 5 out there now, and probably soon there's going to be a 5, whatever they call it next. There's a 5C out there. So I'm already out of date. All my point is when a new release of something is brought out, it's always better than the one before. No one would bring out, iPhone would never come out with an iPhone 6. And well, it's actually worse than the 5, but we just wanted to do it for fun, you know. God created man, and then he took that template and he changed it quite a bit. Quite a bit. Quite a bit. He changed it quite a bit when he created woman. And as I said, women are far more complex, okay? If this phone represents a woman, the phone that represents a man would be that big old clunky rotary dial thing. You know? Simple. It got the job done. It lasted forever. Okay? This thing goes on the internet, email, texting, message, Facebook. I don't even know the words. Twitter, Instagram. It's just more complicated. Not better, not worse. Just a lot more to it. A lot more moving parts. That's just the way I think it is. I wonder how much trouble. See, my wife isn't even in here now to go like this. So anyone that can look at the creation account of woman and say, this is just, woman is just some lowly servant that God brought to Adam so that he would have someone to pull the weeds. That's crazy. That's just crazy. To say that the creation account is demeaning to women, I think is just crazy. Women are created by God with a tremendous place of prestige and honor. God looked at the situation and said, this is not good, but I'm going to make something that is good and something that's going to make the situation very when God looked at, he said it was not good. He said, I'm going to make something that is good. And as a result, the situation will become very good. I believe that's what he did. Now, here's the problem. Because of our broken and sinful society, this beautiful design of God has been severely distorted, as I said at the beginning. I just want to paint maybe two pictures really quickly of what that can look like when you take a perfect design of God, of male and female, masculine and feminine, and it becomes horribly distorted. One possible scenario is because they have been oppressed by sinful men for so long, and they have been belittled for so long, women buy into the lie that their value is measured only by the acceptance of a man. They measure themselves by the sinful measurements of lust-filled men, and standing in front of a mirror becomes a painful experience. Who can compare to the skinny supermodels on a magazine cover? Do you get what I'm saying here? Men, because they have so belittled women, and a lustful, sinful man measures a woman by her physical appearance. And women, over time, I fear, buy into this. And their whole concept of self-image and self-esteem is warped, and it's corrupted. And are you saying, am I endorsing that? Of course not. God didn't design it that way. God didn't design it that way. So that is one. That is one. Remember what I said earlier. God breathed life into the woman. If you were a woman, your source of life is God. Your purpose, your destiny, his plan, those are all his. They belong to him. They are not found in a husband. They are not found in a family. They are not found in a reputation. They are not found in any level of prestige or fame. They are from God. Are you married this morning? Your purpose and your destiny and your value and your design, they are from God, not from your husband. For you, he's chosen to place you in a marriage so that you can release all that he's put in you in that context. Are you single? Your destiny, your value, your design is from God. The life that is in you is from God. You are not incomplete without a husband. You don't need some man to come along to justify you or to say that you're pretty. You get that? Your value and your life is in God. It's from God. It's in God. If he... Okay, women, young women, you got to get this. Your value, your life is in God. It's not in a man. It's not in a boyfriend. It's not in a husband. When Eve was created, God took her to her husband. If a time comes in your life that God takes you to the man he wants you to marry, then you embrace that. Until that time comes, you are fully complete in him. Your life is in him. Your destiny is in him. Your purpose is in him. Okay. The other sinful distortion, and I'll wrap up here, the other sinful distortion is that women will rebel against God's order, and they will reject their natural design and their femininity. They insist there are no differences between male and female, except for the few undeniable ones. And they reject any idea of being created differently than men, and an intentional choice. They reject the idea of being created differently than men, and they reject this intentional choice of a sovereign and loving creator. They refuse to recognize that God ordains male leadership in the home and demand full independence in every area of life. They fully reject this. okay. I said, I'll offend everyone equally. Men, it's your turn now. Why do women react this way that takes them so far away from their destiny? Why do women believe that they are just a physical object and their value is measured in the eyes of a man? Why do they believe that? Or why does a woman rebel against God's creation and her femininity and want to live like a man? Why is that? It's because of the abuse of men. You know, that's why it is, I believe. It's because of the way men have abused women. It's because of the way that men have belittled women. It's because of the way men have looked down on women. Some women here are teaching like this, and they're like, man, your head is in the clouds, dude. This is just like a pipe dream. This doesn't exist on the planet. Because all they've seen is in men does not look like anything that God created in the beginning. All they've experienced in men have been men that are full of themselves. They think they're the king of the world. They boss their wife around like she's, you know, like a slave. That's why these things happen. Society gets broken. All right, I'm going to hit this next one very quickly. This second name, and this is over in Genesis 3, where Adam called his wife Eve because he understood that she would be a giver of life. Now, there's an obvious connection to Mother's Day, to women who have actually physically given life, given birth. We honor you for that this morning. But as I was reading on this week, I saw this fascinating story just very, very quickly where the author was mentioning the women who gave life to the man called Moses in the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, the central figure in the book of Exodus. Moses' mother gave birth to him. Two midwives protected his life by not killing him. His little sister Miriam protected him by standing watch there at the bank of the river to see what happened to him. And the daughter of the Pharaoh took him from that infant, or that young stage anyway, and brought him up to adulthood. I saw a young woman this morning, and I'll tell you why in a minute. I was on Facebook, but I was on Facebook this morning, and I saw a young woman posted a Mother's Day greeting or message, and I was impressed because she mentioned multiple women. She said, my mom, and then she mentioned a few other women by name, acknowledging this very thing, I believe, that women give life. It's what you're wired to do. And I'm not talking about just physical birth. I'm talking about this nurturing, life-giving spirit that God puts in a woman. And men, you know what I'm talking about. This does not come natural for us, but women, generally speaking, have this ability to walk into a difficult situation, someone is really hurting, and women have the ability to minister life. It's how they're created. It's how they're designed. I don't believe for a minute it's because that's what culture has told them they have to be. I believe it's because God designed them that way. So that's the second name. That's the second name. Here's the final note just to finish up your notes. I believe a spirit-filled woman walks in the fullness of both of these names. The name woman, which she understands as her role. She understands the role of a woman as it's described in the book of Genesis, and also this thing of being a life-giving person. There's so much more I can say about that. Very quickly, I did something I've never done before this morning. I went on the Facebook. I don't know if some of you may have seen this already because I did it around 8:15. I went on the Living Hope Community Church Facebook page. We have our own Facebook page. And I invited all of you as women for feedback. I said, what has been your experience about these two names, the name woman and the name Eve, and how a woman is to walk out this calling in her life? So go on there at some point, if you would like, and weigh in. Please, no men bashing. We already know that we are deserving of bashing, but that's not really going to help, I don't think. But share with one another. I mean, don't take it from this old gray-haired dude. I mean, I would really love to see women sharing together about what these names mean, the name woman and the name Eve, just from your experience and just from the things the Lord has taught you. I would love to see women in their 50s and 60s and 70s teaching and speaking into the lives of women in their 20s and 30s. It's a beautiful, precious thing when that happens. So if you're one of those Facebook people, and I know there's a lot of you out there, go ahead over and just if you're not a friend of that page or following, whatever you call that, I don't know, Just type in the search box, Living Hope Community Church, and our page will come up. And then you'll see the question that I posted there this morning. All right, what we're going to do to wrap up is, in just a moment, I'm going to make an opportunity. A number of other women are going to come up to be available to pray with you as women. I realize that the Mother's Day holiday is wonderful. It's a joyous thing. But I also realize that it can stir up a lot of painful things in the life of a woman. Anything from a broken relationship between a mother, a daughter, a mother, and a son, feelings of guilt about your own experience in this area. It can stir up pain for women who want to be married and are not, women who want to be mothers and are not. It's a long list of things that a holiday like this can stir up in a woman. And my heart this morning is just to be able to pray for you and bless you. So a number of women, as I said, are going to come up and be available up here to pray with you. I'm going to get out of their way and let them minister. If there's anybody else I can pray with, just come and find me. I'll be happy. Men, you're not excluded this morning. It's just you don't get the front, okay? So I'd be happy to pray with you also. Amy said in her testimony this morning that she was tired of the chains, and she said something very profound. Do you know you said something very profound this morning, Amy? She said this. She said, regarding chains and bondage in her life, she said, it doesn't matter how it got there. I know it's not from God. So please don't spend the rest of your life analyzing your chains and what you did wrong and what someone else did wrong and what someone said and then what you said. Please don't do that. Those chains are not from God. For those of you who are in the audience, women in the audience, you have been on the receiving end of the abuse of a man, whether it was a relative, husband, a father. To what degree that you'll enable me to do this, I will simply represent the male gender and say to you that that was wrong. God never intended for the man to harm the woman. The man is to love the woman, to protect her, to care for her, and lay down his life for her. So if you are in that place, let some of these women pray with you. Let one of them pray with you this morning. If you have been on the receiving end of the abuse of a man, of the neglect of a man, that's not God's design. He didn't put those chains there. Those chains are a result of the brokenness in the world in which we live. So let someone pray with you about that. They don't belong there. It doesn't matter how they got there. They're not from him. Father, I thank you for this amazing design that man called woman, that man called Eve, giver of life. God, I'm so thankful that you gave man what he needed when you said it's not good that man be alone. And God, I know that there are women in this room that have been, you know, on the receiving end and have looked in and seen very difficult situations where they say, man, if that's what marriage looks like, if that's what headship looks like, if that's how men treat women, I don't want anything to do with it. Father, I pray that you would break those chains this morning, that you would bring healing to those women who have experienced that. God, I pray for men this morning that our appreciation for femininity and for your design of a woman would increase greatly. We would realize, yes, God, you are right. It's not good for us to be alone. You have placed women around us. Whether it actually be a wife or a mother or just women around us that have spoken into our lives, we are better for it. I pray for marriages this morning. God, husbands and wives that are disciples of Jesus that will be bold enough to paint a picture that looks completely unlike what most people in our society have seen in marriage. They would paint a picture where the husband lovingly leads his wife. She respectfully submits to him, but together their heart is to follow you. There's not a struggle between them as to who is the boss. They know you're the boss. It's just a matter of seeking your will and following it. So God, I pray for marriages, and again, I pray for women who have been hurt or for who this day stirs up anything in them that's difficult. God, I pray that you would touch their heart. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, we just want to have a ministry time. Go ahead, Jerome, and play that song. We're going to just have a song playing, and And those of you who have agreed to pray, I'd ask you to come on up and just be up front here. You'll recognize many of these women. These are women that we have trusted in our congregation as far as prayer ministry. And men, here's your job, okay? If you have little ones out in the classes, can you go and make sure that they're picked up and taken care of this morning? If you want to stay in here and talk, do so, but just do so quietly in respect of the ministry that's taking place up front. And so that's it. You're dismissed, but let these women pray for you this morning. Women, come up and let them put their hands on you and pray for you. Oh, yes. And the table out in the lobby, please pick up a flower. All of the women, please pick up a flower. There's some other things out there. If you have something that would bless you, please feel free to take that as well. Okay? God bless you. Thank you.